I want to ask that you would turn to Matthew chapter 28 with me. We're going to start there again this week. Matthew chapter 28. We're going to start with verse 18 and read down through verse 20 here in a second. But I want to catch some of you up, maybe remind you, if you've been here already, what we're going to be studying. We're going to study the series is entitled, Why the Church? And I'm posing this question, why did Jesus choose the church? And what does that really mean to you? And what does it mean to me? Why did he choose the church? And so we're going to continue to look at that this week. But before we do, I want to ask, if you are not used to taking notes during messages, if you're not used to, Coach, I need you to stay seated because you already have one of these, okay? You have about 15, 20 of these. So. No, if you, by the way, we're family and we give each other a hard time, and I try to give him a hard time every single week that he's in attendance because he can handle it, right? That's too much. That's too, what's that? He's just going to get mugs. All right. So what I was going to do is this. I have three journals, and if you're not used to taking notes, but you would say that today I'm willing to take notes, I'm going to ask that you would come get this. Who wants them? I got three. They're free. First come, first serve. You might want to hurry because Coach is getting up. Ron, I think they beat you out, man. I'll get you another one here in a minute. I ran out. Don't let me forget. I will get you one, Ron, okay? Don't forget. Don't let me forget, okay? I'll make sure. All right. Those were four people that were willing, and they were willing to come get that, so I appreciate that. That means that since you have those, you got to start taking notes, all right? Ron, you're off the hook. You don't have to take notes today, but Kathy will take them for you. Sound like a plan? All right, so we're going to do Matthew chapter 28, starting with verse 18. Last week, what we did is we talked about Jesus gives us some things as the church. One, he gave us, and this is so important, he gave us his Spirit so that he could multiply the message to fulfill his mission. The mission was his mission was to seek and to save those who were lost, to expand the kingdom of God. And so he actually made us a part of his mission. And the way he did that was, he said, I must go and prepare a place for you. I have to go. And when I go, I will send my Spirit. You will receive my Spirit, the Counselor, the Helper. He will come and he will guide you. He will empower you to do this mission that I've called you to. So he gives us his Spirit within us to fulfill this mission. And each one of us, listen, each one of us have different giftings by his Spirit. But he empowers us to fulfill this mission. What is the mission? It's the movement of the message in this moment. When is the season for harvest? Now. Right now. Why wait until later when people are lost and dying? Why would we do that? We need to fulfill this mission now. What we have to understand about this word multiply in regards to this mission, fulfilling the mission, is he gave us his Spirit and he said, greater works will you do. And what we're looking at is Jesus was one in flesh. He was one person when he was here on the planet. And when he went to sit at the right hand of the Father, he fulfilled his task. He said, it is finished. Why is that? Because he had fulfilled the task that God had called him to do on this earth, and that was to die, to be buried, to be resurrected, and ascend into heaven. And then he said, now I will send my Spirit to fill you. You are my body on the earth. That's what we're here for, to be his body on the earth, and his Spirit empowers us. He's the head. The head speaks to the body and says, this is what you need to do. This is where you need to go. This is what I would have you do in this day. And so he's multiplied. Why? So he can fulfill this mission. And can I tell you, he's not given us a choice. It's mandatory. He's not saying, well, if you just decide, you know, maybe this. He's saying, no, this is what I want you to do. I'm calling you to do this. I'm commanding you to do this. I am mandating, because it's mandatory, I'm mandating that you do this. Let's look at this passage of Scripture. Verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of whatever nation you choose. Of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen? Now this whole thing of go, this is a mandate that he's called us to. Well, he was talking to the disciples that were there with him at that point, right? I mean, it's just them. Oh, come on, y'all. Seriously? You know good and well that we're a part of this. He's calling us. And then it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, I will give you my spirit. Why? So that you will go. Where are you going to go? To Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It didn't hit me. Somebody else said this, and I was in a conversation. I was like, wow, light bulb came on. We are actually the ends of the earth. Y'all are trying to process this, but you realize that we're not Jerusalem. We're not Judea. We're not Samaria. So we must be the ends of the earth. And the message has made it to us. Why? Because the Spirit of God empowered people to go and to share the gospel. And because they shared the gospel, we heard the gospel. And we've been saved because we heard the message. Because somebody else was fulfilling this mission. Not something to be taken lightly. I did a word study this week. Are you proud of me? It wasn't Hebrew or Greek, though. You're like, I'm not impressed anymore. I did a word study. It wasn't on the Hebrew or Greek because that's way above my head, okay? Here's the deal. I did a study on the English word mandate, and it was pretty awesome stuff. Here's what I found. If you look up the word mandate, there's a verb and there's a noun. This is what the verb means. Give someone, you ready? Authority to act in a certain way. Y'all aren't impressed yet. I get it. But did you see verse 18? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. To who? To Jesus. And Jesus said, my authority I give to you by my Spirit. I empower you to do this work. That's cool. I mean, I think that's pretty awesome stuff. But it doesn't stop there. Because in the verb sense, it means to give someone authority to act in a certain way. And that's exactly what Matthew chapter 28 verse 18 says. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And you are my body. You have my spirit. Go. But he says that, therefore, if you'll look in chapter 28 verse 19, starts with either, in your translation literal would be go therefore or therefore go. Therefore, if you see therefore in the sentence, ask yourself the question, what is it there for? And what you find is it attaches verse 18 to verse 19 and 20. It makes it all come together. And so you've got this verb sense of mandate, but check out what the noun means. It means an official order or commission to do something. Now it's getting good. The mandate in the noun sense means an official order or commission. And we have this great commission that God's given us. Why is it great? Because it's salvation. Why is it great? Because it's God empowered. Why is it great? Because it's His calling for us as the body. That's what makes it great. And you say, well, I don't see Great Commission in the Scriptures. You don't. It's something that we've called it. But the reason we've called it that is because, one, it's great because it's of God. And two, it's a commission because it's a common mission that we have as the body to go. And He's not just go. He says, go, make disciples, baptize them, teach them. And all right, look at me. You're going, but I don't have the gift of evangelism. Anybody want to say that? I just don't have the gift of evangelism. That doesn't get you off the hook. There are some people who are just gifted in evangelism. Steve Witt is gifted in evangelism. If a doorknob could be saved, Steve Witt would be a part of that doorknob salvation. Y'all know Steve Witt. Why? Because he's gifted in evangelism. He breathes, he sweats salvation. I mean, every conversation comes back to you must be saved. Why? Because that is the gift that he has. But that doesn't get us off the hook. We're called to be a part of this too. It's a gift that he has. Some of us have, do you realize if you look at the studies for giftings, there's a gift of faith. You can go there, look at the studies. There's Romans 12, there's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians has a passage about gifts, and Peter actually talks about gifts to a small extent. If you go and you can read those gifts, there's one that says there are some who have been given the gift of faith. Aren't we all called to have faith? But some people are gifted in faith. You're not off the hook with compassion and mercy either. Saying, well, I'm just not gifted in mercy. Nice try. It's not how it works. It's not how it works. We're all called to have mercy. There's some people that are just gifted in it. My wife said the other day, she said, such and such, and I'm not going to tell the name because they're in the room, but it's like, such and such is just gifted in mercy. And the reason she said that is because she's like, because I'm not. But, you know, you have to know your gifts. But we're all called to show mercy. We're all called to show compassion. We're all called to do these things. It doesn't mean we're gifted them. But we're all not going to be gifted to be evangelists. But we are all called to evangelize. We are all called to this mandate of go. But don't just stop there. Make disciples. Baptize them. Teaching them what Jesus instructed us to know. All that Jesus taught, teach them to observe these things. That's why when we partner with international missions, we do the best that we possibly can to find a church that will continue the teaching. When I went to Kosovo, we were blessed one year to see 7 Muslims come to salvation through Jesus Christ. The next year, I was blessed to go back and we did river baptisms there. The water's just as cold there as it is here. Did river baptisms. So we have baptizing. Go, make disciples, baptize. But then there's a church there locally that continues to teach them in all of the teachings of Christ. We're all called to go in one way, form, or fashion. We're all called to be a part of this mission that he's given us. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. Before we move into this, I want to say it is so important that we understand that we cannot fulfill this calling without the Spirit of God. He said to his disciples before, that's why we talked about the Spirit came to multiply us. He filled us with his Spirit to multiply us across this planet so that we can continue to share salvation with others. But we can't move, Wes, we can't move without him. We need his Spirit to tell us where to go, when to go, how to go. We need to be empowered by him to do that. I had a moment yesterday during the prayer time where if it had not been for the Spirit of God, it could have been an ugly thing. Prayer turned ugly. Imagine that, right? So we're at the square for prayer at the square. And I was asked to come and share some of the generational things that I've been blessed to see in Murray County. See, I am a third generation prayer warrior from Murray County. My kids are going to be fourth generation. I just speak that in the name of Jesus. There'll be fourth generations that are going to be actually praying over Columbia and Murray County as a whole. My grandparents moved here in 1973. Is it any coincidence it was the year I was born? You can think what you want. I think's not, all right? And so they moved here in 1973, began to pray for Murray County and this area. My dad not only prays over Murray County, but he was given a key to go up into the actual courthouse that sits in the square in Murray County. And there's these little slot windows that face 4 directions. One of them faces all the way down West 7th, and he would pray looking over West 7th for Columbia and for Murray County. So they wanted me to share some of this story, and we started the prayer time. The first time I'd ever been there, never been there before. First time I'd ever been there, they hand me the microphone. I start to tell the story, and this guy comes up, breaks through the crowd, and stands pretty close to me and begins to stare at me. I'm like, who are you? So I looked at him, and he looked at me. He said, you're going to mess this up? And I looked back and said, are you? Now, I checked with my wife. She said I said nothing dirty or nasty. But I remember immediately starting to go, in my spirit, something's wrong. In my spirit, I'm going, what do we do now? I'm supposed to. So I start to tell the story. And then I realize it's not going to happen because he started to speak over me to some extent. I said, you know what? I feel like we just need to pray. And so that's what we did. I began to pray. It was actually a chorus of prayer because I heard others praying around as well and began to ask God to move and for his spirit to move. And then the Lord said, hand the mic over, grab this guy and go and pray separate with him. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to tell that story another time. Still haven't told him the story. I said, I'll tell you that story another time. And I handed the microphone. I said, I just want to get to know this guy. So I grabbed his hand. We walked out of the crowd. He started to get a little loud, so we walked a little further away. And for 1 hour, I prayed with this guy. Talked to him, listened to him. This is the kind of guy that gets kicked out of town everywhere he goes because he's belligerent. Can I tell you, he's the kind of guy that Jesus died for. He's the kind of guy that most cities would just kick him out and say, you know, we don't have enough time for you. We don't have enough energy because, let's face it, it can zap you and it can wear you down. But I want us to be the kind of community where we reach out to anybody and everybody and we pray for them. But the only way we can do that is if we will listen to the Spirit of God. And in those moments where it seems a little awkward, we go, you know what? All pride aside, it's not about me telling a story. It's about salvation through Jesus for this man. And besides that, I was able to take him over to the side and they had, I guess they had a good prayer time. And they prayed for our city, for our nation, for our communities. But we can't move without him. We need his spirit to empower us, to move us in the direction that we need to go. But listen, we don't get a choice on this. We are called to go. Isaiah 1:19. I'm going to actually start with verse 18 and read down. It says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Praise God for salvation. Amen. Though they are red like crimson. See, I told you it was a Bama thing. It's sinful. See, it says it right. Anyway. Well, you know that was good. I mean, we're going to delete that from the recording and then... Listen, though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. But it doesn't stop there. Listen. If you are willing and obedient, two words. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, what is it? If you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. How many of you know that you can actually be willing and not be obedient? How many of you know that you can actually be obedient and not really be willing? But he says, I desire that you be both. I desire that you be willing and you be obedient as well. When I think of being willing but not being obedient, I think of the two sons. Jesus talks about the two sons. He says to him, he says, will you go out and work in the field? And one says, absolutely. The other one says, no way. That's Eric's translation. Go with me, okay? He says, of the two of them, well, one of them said, I'm willing, but did not go. The other one was not willing initially, but ended up going. You can be willing, but not be obedient. That one's pretty easy. It's this other one. The whole thing when you're obedient, but you're not really willing. And if you know the story of Jonah, you know that initially he was not willing or obedient. He said absolutely not, ran in the other direction, ended up 3 days in the belly of a fish. Then when he was spit up, he's like, all right, I will go and do this. Now, he goes out of obedience, but if you read through to chapter 4, he wasn't really willing. Because it says that he went and he shared what he was supposed to share, and they actually began to repent. He went and sat outside of the city waiting for it to be destroyed, and when it wasn't, he was like, see, that's why I didn't want to tell them. Anybody ever been there before? You're not going to admit it, but God knows your heart, right? How many times are we like that? We're obedient, but can I tell you, it brings up this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that we call the love chapter, and we always focus on the definition. Love is patient, love is kind, it's not self-seeking. But the first three verses say this: if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, if I have spiritual gifts but have not love, I am noisy. I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers, I have the gift of prophecy, is what it's saying, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, gift of faith, faith so much so that mountains are being moved. That's some faith. It says, but if I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have to the poor, and if I give up my body to be burned like a martyr, but have not love, I gain nothing. You can be obedient and not really be willing. But it's empty. He's calling us to be both. He wants us to be willing and he wants us to be obedient. Listen, God gave us, ready? He gave us authority. He gave us the authority of Christ and his Spirit in us. He gave us authority and he has given us a commission. He has mandated us, both in the verb sense and in the noun sense. You have been given a mandate. So really it's simple. Are you willing and will you obey? We have to answer that ourselves. Am I willing and will I obey? Would y'all just do me a favor real quick? Would you pull this out? I want to show you some celebrations of what happens when we glorify God through being willing and obedient. Now, every one of you should have these. If you don't, you kind of look around because I think there might be some extra ones on other chairs close by to where you're at. But if you'll turn like to page 4. On page 4, we have Jada's story. And many of you have already heard Jada's story. She gave her life to Christ one Christmas Eve service. It was one of our Christmas Eve services here at the Columbia campus. And then I'll never forget the day that she came to me. She looked me in the face on Father's Day and said, today, my father, my dad will be saved. She went home and shared the gospel, and sure enough, he gave his life to Christ that day. I'll never forget. She was both willing and she was obedient. Page 5. Look at that. It's Gracie Willett and the Precious Brady girls. You see that? Serve Sunday. 32 different schools that we were blessed to go into and to serve. We worshiped through service that day. And people are still talking about the great things that God has done. Continue on. Page 8. What about Vegas? Right now, Steve Witt and John Labonte and their families are positioned perfectly to minister in a time of need. In addition to that, on their one-year anniversary, they had 150 people in attendance, and last year they had 12 baptisms. Why? Because God is multiplying. He's sending people out. He sent John, and he sent John's family. He sent Steve Witt. He sent Steve Witt's family with all the gifts that he had given them to take and to spread and to multiply in Las Vegas. Cincinnati, 128 people attended the two-year anniversary. They had 29 baptisms last year. 29 individuals who can say to you today, Jesus changes everything. Page 9 is pretty special to me. Not because I'm on it, not the picture. It's Columbia campus. what we're blessed to be a part of here in Columbia, I love to see that celebrated. Why? Because I love to see God receive the glory that He deserves for the work that He's doing. It says here, 392 people attended our three-year anniversary. And can I tell you, we didn't publicize and we didn't push for a three-year anniversary. That's how many just showed up on that day. That's phenomenal. In addition to that, we did over 77,000 meals that you all served through our partnership with One Gen Away. 50-plus kids that attended Vacation Bible School in the Columbia area. 46 total baptisms. Come on. Give God some glory for that. Really. 23 river baptisms. Those are fun. One of them, the river was way up, and we were just thankful that everybody got out of the water. 549 people attended on Easter. And then look, this year, one of our key focuses is getting a facility for the Columbia campus. But I want to say something to you real quick. Do me a favor. Talk to God about that. If you're struggling with us not having a facility, don't complain to one another. Talk to God about it. He's the one that's going to get the facility for us in the first place. Last time I checked, He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. He's the one that's going to provide. And can I tell you, His timing is going to be perfect. Right now, as a church, anything that goes above and beyond expenditures, we're starting to put those away for dream bucket. It's things that we're dreaming for. And the number one priority is the Columbia campus facilities. So let's continue. The 50,000 that we received and the 100,000 we received were in that manner. We have close to $200,000 already saved up for a campus. We now just need to know where God wants us to go. But don't deny the fact that God is using us right here, right now, in this school. This last week, we started Discovery Bible Club, where children from this school actually can come to a voluntary club at the end of the day, and they can learn about the Bible, and they can learn about Jesus. Parents are signing on the line saying, absolutely, let them do it. 39 kids signed up. 39 children signed up to be a part of Discovery Club. That's fun stuff. It's a blessing to be a part of that. In addition, I received another letter this week that I want to share with you. Dear Thompson Station congregation, how blessed Riverside is to have people who love us and want to help in so many ways with the education of our students. We appreciate so much the love offering or donation that we recently gave to our school. It's important for our kids to know that they are loved and we are trying to provide them with the best education possible. Your continued support helps us to provide this. Thank you also for all of the volunteer time you give, the painting, reading, cafeteria help, special projects or events, maintenance, etc. Listen, each one is very important. But most of all, your prayers top the list. All of the things you're doing are important, but the most important thing that you're doing is you're praying for us. Thank you again, Thompson Station Baptist Church. You're always welcome to visit us at Riverside. So let's don't get distracted. I'm going to share this real quick. I didn't share it last hour, so it's free of charge. I won't charge you for it. I have this... I'm sorry, y'all. It's a hunting illustration, so go with me. I have this decoy, and it's furry, and it has a spinning tail on it. It takes, and it spins, and it'll stop, and then it spins the other direction. It spins. Well, the whole purpose of this decoy is to put it out in the field where you're calling in predators for a hunt, typically coyotes or something like that. So you put it out there, but here's the reason that you put it out there. You put it out so that they won't see you moving in the woods, but they'll be distracted. They'll be distracted by the decoy. They'll run out to it, and ultimately, it ends their life. Can I tell you that the enemy uses the same ploy with us as he does everything he can to distract us? Don't be distracted. We have to stay on point. We have to stay on mission. We have to stay focused. God is our provider. The most important thing we can do right now is fulfill this mission that He's given us. He has empowered us to do a great thing in this world, to see people. He said, my mission is to seek and to save those who are lost, and we're a part of that. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask actually that the ushers would go ahead and come forward. And as they're coming, I want to share something with you. As a church, anytime that God moves you towards something. See, I held up three at the very beginning. I held up three journals. Do y'all remember that? I mean, short-term memory people. I held up three and I said, who's willing? In order to get it, you have to obey. Who's willing? You, in order to get this, you have to get up and come and get it. And so what I want to do is, while the offering's going on, and as we sing through the song that says, listen, we won't move without you. We won't move without you. You do realize that as a church, you could move forward without Him. Please tell me you realize that, right? We realize that you can. When we first started this campus, Steve Anderson said to me, he said, man, I have a concern. So what's that? He said, here's my concern. He said, look around. You've got an A team. He said, we have an exceptional worship pastor. We have exceptional worship leaders, exceptional AV, exceptional children, and okay pastor. He said, now, we have this A team that we're going with. And he said, I'm concerned that we would try to do it without Him. What's allowed this whole thing to work over the last 3 years is we've done everything we possibly can to listen to the Spirit of God and be led by Him. So that in the end, we don't receive any glory for this. All the glory goes to Him. He's the one saving people. We're just blessed to be a part of His mission. And if today the message challenges you in any way, well, maybe you've been willing, but you haven't been obedient. Maybe you've been obedient, but you really have to check your heart and say, maybe I haven't been willing. I want to open the altar up and say, you know, there's no better offering than to lay down your life before Him. I want you to know as a church, if I'm preaching a message and God stirs your heart and tells you to go to the altar, please do. Please do. Listen to Him. Because what He's going to give you, I can't even come close to. So we're going to open the altar up during this offering time. And if God stirs your heart to come and lay it all before Him, then do that. Be willing and be obedient. Because listen, when it comes to this whole thing of going, He's not giving us as a choice. He's saying, I've mandated you to do this. This is my commandment for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how your word speaks to our hearts and stirs us towards you. I pray that everyone in this room would reach their full potential. But in order to do that, they need to know their identity in you. So maybe the offering for someone today is, you know what, I've been living this life on my own, and it's time for me to surrender to you. And in order to do that, if you're listening, that's you, you need to just say, look, I know that I've sinned. I know that I've disobeyed you, God, and I'm sorry for that. I repent of those sins. I want to turn away from that life that I was living. I want to die to what I want. I want to live for you. And I know the only way I can do that is to have a relationship through you or through Jesus. Because Jesus came and He died for my sins. He overcame death so that I can have eternal life. And I believe that today and I receive that. I want Jesus to be my Savior, to save me from sin and death, but I also want Him to be the Lord of my life. I will follow Jesus. And if you say that to Him today, if you mean that, if you pursue Him in this moment, Scripture says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. offering be our lives. May this gift, whatever finance it is that you want us to give, would you take and multiply it for the kingdom and continue to do the work that you're doing. Come get your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open.
We won't move without you. We won't move without you. You're the light of all and all that we need.